I'm going to do something a little different this morning. You know how in evening service we talk about questions, right? Questions that have been asked. And we're going to talk about a question, you know, tonight, and specifically it's about a mission field and mission field to Calvinists. And you're like, what? What's that all about? Well, you'll have to come tonight. You want to hear that. Because it's an important thing to understand, important thing to know about that, and to discuss those things. But we're going to address a question that was put in the box and a while ago, and the question comes from a teen. And the question is, what is the difference between walking with Christ and walking in Christ? And somebody's going to say, well, it's the preposition. No duh, to use the language of my generation. Yes, we understand that. But there is a big difference. There is a big difference. And we're going to look at that tonight, or this morning, excuse me, as we answer that question this morning in this morning service, because I think it's an important way, an important principle for us to understand. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again so much for this time and opportunity to study your word, to be in it. And Lord, I pray that as we look at the scripture, that it will be very clear what your purpose and what your intent is behind the words that you choose to use. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts through your word with your Holy Spirit. That Lord, you'd be with me and guide and direct my words and put a guard over my lips and my mouth, that only things that would honor you, please you, and be truth be spoken this morning. And I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with, above all the salvation that we have through you. To have these believers here today, to be in fellowship together as we worship you, and Lord, to desire to hear from you. Pray, Lord, we would approach this all with a heart, Lord, that is humble and yielded and submissive to you in all things. And this I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the kind of the purpose of what I'm going to be talking about is obviously to take a look at our lives and, yes, to kind of be a little confrontational. Because I think we need to look at it in regards to how there is a distinction between that relationship, fellowship we have with the Lord and obedient living in Christ. Turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, and as we enter into this, I want us to keep this as the mindset. These are very familiar verses, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And what we find here is that this is very much talking about our walk in this Christian life. And we have, obviously, throughout Scripture, and the book of Ephesians talks a lot about the walk and what that looks like. Now, when we talk about that walk, it's walking with and it is walking in. Now, we know that you go through Scripture, it doesn't specifically say certain things about walking with Christ, but we see things that are mentioned about walking with God, but we know what that walk is talking about when we're talking walking with the Lord and walking with Him. And what we find is that there's a difference between the two, and the distinction is the path in the position. One is a path and one is a position. And what we find is that when we walk with Christ, it is with companionship. It is with fellowship. It is a relationship. It is a nearness to Him. When we take a look at the idea of walking in Christ, we are talking about a union with Christ. We are talking about our identity in Christ and the obedience. Now, there's a very big difference because, look, you can sometimes have somebody that is walking with the Lord, walking with Christ, but is not walking in Him. I'll give you an example. Some of you guys know that I like racing. I like World Rallycross, and one of the best drivers out there, his name is Johan Kristoffersen, and you're like, who is that? Don't worry about it. But let's put it this way. If you've ever seen rally car driving, it's terrifying. And you can be in a car, say, next to Johan Kristoffersen driving, and you're like, oh, okay, you're driving alongside, but you're not in the same car with him. If you were in the car with him, that would be a totally different experience. Amen? It would be a totally different experience. It'd be slightly terrifying. As you're driving through, these roads and drifting and all sorts of craziness, and it's a wild ride. But they're not the same thing. One's alongside as one is actually in the vehicle itself, is in it as that mode of travel. I mean, again, pardon me. Again, as we take a look at like kind of an illustration aspect of it, it's about who you are walking beside and specifically that mode of travel. That mode of travel. Now, when we talk about how we are living this Christian life, and we talk about this walk, we have to understand that he says we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. So when God says we're to walk worthy, and we find that over in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 1, and if we're walking worthy of him, worthy of the salvation that we have, and look, let's be clear, we're not worthy of any of that. But he says, I want you to walk worthy. I have a specific way I want you to walk. And it is walking with and it is walking in. And sometimes when we use those phrases, we kind of use them interchangeably. But let's be clear about this. When we use it interchangeably, walking, whether we're talking about it, they both have to be here. They both have to be specifically done. You have to walk with him. You have to make sure you're walking in him. If you're not doing that, you are not walking the way God wants you to walk. You're not walking the way God wants you to walk. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Let's see some illustration of some individuals and some passages that we find about walking with God, walking with the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we have this individual by the name of Enoch. Now look, I understand that there's certain things mentioned about Enoch over in the book of Jude. But there's stuff out there where people talk about the book of Enoch. Don't read it. It's worthless. It is filled with a bunch of stuff that you don't really need to be thinking about, and it really serves you no spiritual edification purposes at all. It's filled with things, and it wasn't written by Enoch. So just keep that in mind. But I just wanted to say, that was free. But we find that in verse 23, it says, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now this is, obviously that's a verse that you, when you read that, you're like, whoa, what just happened? First time you read that, you're like, what do you mean he was not, and God took him? God just took him. It never says Enoch died. And you go through this and you got people, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. But it says he was 365 years old and God just took him. He just ceased to exist. God, just like zoop, and he was gone with him. But his life was, he was walking with God through all the stuff that was going on. Now, if you know anything about the time period of what was going on, you can see that there was a degradation of mankind, leading to Genesis chapter 6, where the Lord floods the earth. And that wasn't just a sudden thing that happened. It was a decline in spirituality. It was a decline in morality. It was a decline of mankind moving towards sin, violence, and evil wickedness. We find here very clearly that the Lord took him. But it's more important that he was walking with him. That he was walking with God. Go over to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, and there's a lot that we can learn from Enoch in his life. It's good to walk with God in the face of iniquity. And you go again, you go back over and read what Enoch said about all the things, and he pointed out exactly what was going on. He was saying, everything here, all this stuff that you guys are doing is ungodly. It's ungodly. Pardon me. It's the flowers. It's ungodly. And in the face of ungodliness, he still chose to walk with God. Look, folks, the world isn't going to get any better. I hate to tell you that. But the fact is, I've read the book. Hopefully you've read the book. And you know what the book says. The book says is we're not going to get better until Jesus Christ makes it better. And until then, things are going to get worse. Progressively worse. So I guess progressivism is kind of real. Things progress the wrong way. We want them to progress towards goodness, but what we find is that progressivism is moving this direction with mankind. And I'm not talking about political movement here. I'm talking about mankind in general is moving and progressing worse and worse and worse. More and more sin. I mean, it's crazy out there. You've been watching the stuff that's going on over in Iran? They're burning mosques. Yeah. They're tired of it. And guess what? Christianity over there is surging. Amen. You're like, wait, in Iran? Yeah. Praise God, the gospel got in. Amen. Things are changing, amen? Yeah. I mean, they're actually calling for the Shah to come back. Now, obviously, the first Shah is gone, but the second one, his son, is alive. And they're flying flags that represent the Shah. It's like, yeah, it's crazy, folks. We live in a world that's just, I mean, it's changing every day. And it's not necessarily changing for the better. But Enoch still walked with God. Will you still walk with him? Micah chapter 6, and in verse 8, it says this. This is how he says, this is how you're going to walk with him. And it says in verse 8, he showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What does the Lord require of thee? I mean, this goes along the lines with what we find over there in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 in the last two verses. But he says, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Now, what are the last three that are most important? With thy God. Look, if you're walking behind, you're not walking with him. God doesn't want you following in his footsteps. If you're following in Christ's footsteps, you're missing the point. He wants you with him in companionship and fellowship. You ever have kids that sometimes lag behind when you're in Walmart? And you're like, come on, get up here, walk with me. You want them right there. Why? Because then you can protect them. You can keep them safe. You can keep them from grabbing every single snack that they see. You want them with you. You want to walk side by side. Now, he gives you the way to do that. Justly. Humbly. There are things that are there that very clearly, the mentality, but to put, you know, when you're looking at that, you're right next to him. You're walking with him. As he moves, you move. If he stops, you stop. If he increases the pace, you increase the pace. If he slows down, you slow down. See, the problem is sometimes we think we're power walkers. You ever seen the power walkers in the park? I'm not going to mimic that at all in any way, shape, or form. I'll throw out a hip. You'd be carrying me out of here. And you watch those people, you ever do that? Just sit there in the park or sit there in a mall or something like that. And I guess people power walk in the mall now too, because the malls are mostly empty. And it's great for indoor activities of walking. But you watch those people go by and you're like, look, if the Lord tells you to slow down, and now's not the time to power walk, don't power walk and be, as he says, don't be the horse and run ahead. And don't be the donkey that I got to drag. It says that in the book of Psalms of us. So what do we see? We see we've got to walk with him. We've got to walk with him. Turn over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3. Old Testament, New Testament, we find it very clear that this is something that we as believers need to do. We're walking with God. Now again, when I talk about walking with God, I am talking about walking with Christ. Why? Because they are one and the same. Amen, amen, and amen. I mean, that's what we're doing in Sunday school. We're finding and seeing very clearly that with all the names that we find for Jesus, we find that every single last one of them is pointing to He is God. But what we find here is we find these individuals, these disciples in Mark chapter 3, and we found believers in the Old Testament, saints in the Old Testament, and we find these believers here in the New Testament. And in verse 14, it says He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach. With him. When Jesus would move, they would move with him. Now we know at certain times he did leave them for purposes, but the fact is that they were to be with him. They were to be with him. Sad fact is, only one was with him at the cross. John. But in the garden, they all fled, including John. They all fled. But we walk with God. We walk with Christ. We are to be with Him. Turn over to the book of 1 John. In 1 John, and I want you to take a look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, here he is making a declaration of truth, of why he is writing what he is writing. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." I mean, that's what we're talking about here when we are talking about this concept of walking with. We are walking with Him in that, just side by side, in that companionship, and as John says here, in that fellowship. When we talk about fellowship, when you understand what fellowship is when you come together with the same purpose. Go back and you find over there were fellows that got together in the book of Daniel, and they had a purpose that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat. He calls them Daniel's fellows. Why? Because they were all in agreement and they were all in accordance with what was going to be done. The same thing is true when we talk about fellowship with Christ. When we talk about fellowship with Christ. Well, how do we fellowship with Christ? Through prayer. Your prayer life, by the way, is not a Santa wish list. Your prayer life is you talking with God. You're talking with the Holy One. You're talking with the Creator. You're talking about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You're talking about the one that has all authority. That's who you're talking to. And God, and He says, I want a relationship. I want to talk. I'm going to talk to you through your word, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to talk back in prayer and supplication and intercession and requests being made known unto God. Well, He already knows your heart. He already knows what you want and what you desire, but He wants you to say it. He wants you to pray it. That's where you walk with Him. You do it in devotion. And I'm not talking about just a simple devotional that you read every morning. I'm talking about in devotion to being next to Him the whole way. You're not going to be taken away by the shiny object. You're not going to be, see something and do the whole thing of the squirrel and go after that. What you're going to do is you're going to be so devoted to the Lord that you never want to leave Him. And He already told you that He is never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's already told you that nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. How about we show the same kind of devotion and say, Lord, I don't ever want to be not next to You. We do it in a spiritual closeness. Getting closer to the Lord. You know, that's kind of some of the things that we do here at church. Church is not a network. Church isn't so you can get your social fix for the day and get your social battery depleted. And look, I understand that. You know, sometimes your social battery starts waning and you're like, I don't know if I want to go to church. I mean, there's all those people that are there. And they're weird and I'm weird. Okay, you know what? Church isn't about you. Church isn't about the people that are in it. The church is about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's called the body of Christ. Amen. You come here to worship.
Yeah.
You come here to fellowship. Your fellowship may be together, but it's fellowship with God.
Yes.
That's first. Church isn't a program.
Right.
Church isn't about, you know, some sort of performance. You're not going to see me getting strung up to the ceiling and flying down the center aisle. Be another hospital visit is what that'll be. But it's a spiritual closeness with the Lord. That's a spiritual closeness that you want to get closer and closer and closer. Remember when you were a couple and there was that infatuation at the first part? You were all Twitter-pated? You're close, cling to each other's arms, things like that. You know, the Lord wants that. The Lord wants you to be close to Him. And it is a desire in your heart for fellowship. You know, if there's one thing I know is that in this day and age, the desire for the things of God has waned. Yeah. Go to churches today, and there's a lot of Christians today They don't want Bible. They don't want tough doctrine. They don't want to have to sit there and chew on it and meditate on it. They want it spoon-fed. They want to take out the little pureed peas and go, here we go, airplane coming in for a landing. That's not feeding from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Feeding from the Word of God is where you understand the doctrines of who He is, understand the doctrine of sin, understand the doctrine of salvation and why you need it, understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ and why He came to save you and how He saved you. It's understanding those things and understanding the doctrine here, if you will, of the walk that we have in the Christian life. And it's a desire for that fellowship. It's a desire for the closeness. It's a desire to be with Him. And I'll tell you this, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'll just give you a little warning on this one. Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have a union with Jesus Christ, meaning you're just kind of walking along next to Him, and there's union without obedience, I'm talking about the nearness without obedience. If you're talking about the nearness without obedience, it leads to a self-deception in your life. You know, the Bible talks about how you can deceive yourself. We lie to ourselves. I can do that. No, you can't. Ever try to do something that you think you can do? Sometimes you take on a project that you think you're going to do. Like, I'm going to remodel the kitchen. Like, I can do that. About halfway through, when the electrical's sparking and the plumbing's leaking, and you're calling a contractor in. Like, I can't. There's self-deception. In verse 21, it says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. When we start talking about the union that is necessary with obedience, if a person is just claiming to be near God and walking with Him, there's not going to be the proper walk. And I'll tell you this, it is really hard to walk with Him without being obedient. And it is really hard to walk with Him if you're not wanting to be close to Him. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we find that walking in Christ is obedient living. There's a lot to be said about obedience. Let's face it, we're a rebellious, revolting little lot, aren't we? We revolt all the time against God. We rebel against His Word and what He has told us. And we do that in sin. And let you be clear. Anything that goes against what God has told you to do is sin. And anytime you don't do what God told you to do is sin. That's it. God wants obedience from you. God wants obedience. And that's what walking in Christ is all about. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6, it says this. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So walk ye in Him. And he's saying, look, there's something that you need to do. And he goes through all of this. where as you kind of scroll down through all of this, you get to the part where he says, buried with him in verse 12 in baptism, not water baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And he's talking about all the things that are being forgiven of you, blotted out, all of these things. And he's saying, look, I want you to do things a certain way. I want you to have charity towards other people. I want you to do all of these things in obedience, and above all, love one another. And forgive one another. And be tenderhearted toward one another. And be kind one to another. And we see all of these things that are walking in him that he says, look, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, as he's saying here, and you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to walk in him. Don't walk in the flesh. We find that over in the book of Galatians. Turn to Romans, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In verse 4 it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, not water baptism. Got to remember, there's 7 different baptisms in Scripture. You have to know the context of which one he's talking about. But this is not water baptism. Water baptism does not save you. Amen?
Amen.
Good. We got that doctrine down. But baptism into Christ is what the Holy Spirit has done when you trusted Christ as your Savior. When you received Christ, you were put in him. And here's what he says. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know what the newness of life is? Jesus Christ. Does he not say, as we were talking about the other day, behold, all things have become new? You are a new creature in Christ. And he says, in that newness of life, that's what you're supposed to walk in. That's what you're walking in. I'll give you another example. Let's say you do want to race Johan Kristoffersen. He's the best world rallycross driver there is. And when he started out driving Audis, and then he eventually, you know, towards the latter years, he did some electric racing and as well as, you know, gasoline motor, petrol, if you will. His last vehicles that he had was a Volkswagen. He raced a Volkswagen, which is interesting, considering Volkswagens. But he raced this Volkswagen, and he won quite a few races. And here he is in this Volkswagen, and it's souped up. It's got roll bars and cages and wings and all sorts of stuff, and, you know, suspension so it can do jumps, and it's tuned, and it's loud, and it is everything that you need to world rallycross. And you go, Johan, I want to race you. And he goes, okay, I'm good for it. And he shows up in his car, and you roll up in another Volkswagen. 1973, exactly, the Super Beetle. Maybe let's not even go with Super Beetle. Let's just go with the Beetle. With rust, barely hanging on. The thing sounds like, you know, somebody's lawnmower. He looks at it and goes, yeah, you're not going to get anywhere in that. You're not going to be able to race in that. You know what we often try to do? We try to walk in ourselves. We try to walk in the old man, in the old ways of life. And God says, you can't walk in that anymore. You need to walk in the newness of Christ, which is in him. In Christ and in Christ alone. Turn over to the book of 1 John again. In 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 6 it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." That's a verse that I think we all probably should memorize. You looking for a verse to memorize? Memorize that one. He that saith he abideth in him. Do you abide in Jesus Christ? If you're a saved, born-again child of God, do you abide in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Okay, you are in Him. If you say you are in Him, God says there is an ought you need to do. You ought to do this. Meaning that, yeah, you're going to have a choice, but this is the way He tells you to do it. You know, you ever give as a child as they grow up a couple of choices about what they're going to do? You give them a choice. You can say, well, I need you to clean your room. I need you to make sure your room is clean. And the child's like, do I have to? And you say, well, I'm going to give you a choice. You ought to clean your room. If you don't clean your room, well, no video games. In this day and age, we take your phone away. Sometimes you should just do that anyways. You're not going to be able to hang out with your friends. You're not going to be able to do things that you enjoy doing. By the way, don't ever punish your children by saying, well, that's it, you're not going to church.
Right.
I've heard people say that. Punish them. Well, I'm sorry, but you know, you've just been so naughty. You do not get to go to church. Don't do that. I thought of something that just popped in my head. Thank you, Lord, for setting that guard. But you understand what I'm saying is there's things you ought to do. You tell them, you ought to do this, and if not, there's going to be consequences. But here he's saying, look, if you are saying you are in him, here's how you ought to do this. You ought to walk as he walked. And what did he do? He did obedience. Was he not obedient to the death of the cross? Doesn't it say that he had to learn obedience, which I know just boggles our mind. But understand, he was still put himself in man's flesh. And he did it without error. We have to learn obedience. Some of us are still learning. But we walk in that obedience. We take a look at the practical application of this, we find that kind of identifies who we are. You know, if you're obedient to Christ, it's going to show. It's going to show. Sometimes you can't tell if somebody's walking with God, because sometimes that's a little private, how they walk. But I'll tell you this, you can definitely tell if somebody is walking in Christ by whether they obey Him or not, whether they obey the Scriptures or not. And sometimes people think, well, I'm close to God. I'm definitely walking with Him because I read my Bible every day and I pray every day. And you know, I think my heart is devoted to Him. Okay, but then you need to make sure that this part is also done. Because again, a union without obedience denies what Christ has done, denies His work. I mean, that's how He walked. Was that the work of Christ? We would never deny what Jesus Christ did for us. But it gives us our identity. It's who you are. You're in Him. He's in you and you are in Him. You're a saint. I know that boggles the mind too. But still, if a born again, saved child of God is a saint, or you know, is saved, then you, that person is a saint, whether you want to call them that or not. Well, they may not act like a saint. Well, they need to make sure that they're acting and doing things that becometh a saint, as we talked about. And that's done with obedience. It's obedience to Scripture, not man's doctrines, not man's preferences, not man's opinions, but this book right here that gives us everything we need to walk in this human life. Of how we go about doing things and what it is we do gives us all these things for obedience. And it is conduct that is shaped by Christ, as we just saw. It's how he behaved himself. It's how he walked. What do? We take a look at the same and we go, okay, that's how I need to behave. That's how I need to walk. That's what I need to do. Like we were talking about this morning, and when we were talking about the subject of forgiveness. That's a tough one. That's a real tough one. Where, like I said, you got Jesus Christ being murdered, and he says, Father, forgive them. And then you see a parallel over there with man, with Stephen, and what is Stephen doing? Saying something similar. Forgive. You know, that's obedience. That's what we mirror. That's what shapes us. Not our own choosing, but what Christ has put down for us to do. I want to leave you with some questions. Some questions about relating to walking with him, to think about, to meditate on. How consistent is your daily prayer life in time in the Word of God? And most importantly, what's your heart when you read it and when you pray? Is it in self? Is it in pride? Are you reading it to check it off? Are you reading it for, oh, maybe some sort of self-improvement? Read it because it's the Word of God and he's given it to you and you love it because you love him. When's the last time you read the Bible? Not because you had to, not because I told you to, not because anybody else told you to, but because you love it. You know, how many times will you watch a movie that you love? How many times do you go back to a book that you love? Do you sense conviction from the Holy Spirit when you sin? And how do you respond? You're not walking with the Lord if you don't feel any conviction when you commit sin. And you're not walking with the Lord if you don't repent. Yeah. Are there areas where you feel close to Christ, but maybe you kind of feel it emotionally, but yet you're not obedient? Do your prayers primarily seek comfort? Or do they seek repentance and obedience? How many times do you go over there and hear in the Psalms David praying things like, against thee and thee only have I sinned? And how would others that maybe look at your walk to see if you're walking with Christ describe your devotion to him? Some questions to think about when it comes to walking in Christ. What sins are you currently struggling to try to put off? If you're walking in Christ, putting on Christ is what you need to do to put off those other ones. Are the commands of Christ that you are knowingly neglecting. Does your conduct reflect Christ in speech, in your attitude, and in your relationships? Not just with Him, but with others. How does your understanding of your identity in Christ shape your daily decisions? If I'm in Christ, I ought not do that. If I'm in Christ, I ought to do that. Are you pursuing obedience even when you don't want to? That requires a change of heart. That's why David said, "Create in me a clean heart." Why is that? Because one of the key things he knew is that his desires of his heart had to change. The desires of his heart had to change. After he sinned, he desired Bathsheba. He desired to keep the kid. He desired to murder his friend. He desired to cover it up. And then when he was confronted and convicted of his own sin, he said, "I got to change my desires. Lord, you got to do this." And as we talked about at the men's Bible study, there's a big difference between obedience and compliance. Obedience is done because you love Him. Obedience is done because you love Him, not because you have to. Not because you have to. The Bible calls to walk in both. I want you to turn to the last two passages. I know we're going past time, but just bear with me. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Tell you, you get a hold of this, it'll change your life. Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to take a look at what he says in verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." That's walking with and walking in. In Galatians chapter 5, we find this, because we find talking about walking in the flesh, but in verse 25 it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And I like that because there's a lot of "lets" in the Bible, where sometimes it's "let not somebody else influence you," right? Don't let another man judge you in certain things. Don't let this happen. Don't let that happen. I want you to notice that he says here, I want you to let this occur in your life. Your greatest resistance in your life, I will tell you this, is not the devil. The greatest resistance is not people in this world. Now, don't get me wrong. Is there a demonic, devilish, satanic attack going on day to day? Absolutely, there is. Ephesians 6 tells us there is, and it is a daily battle. And you're fighting to do things, whether you're fighting to witness, whether you're fighting to walk, whether you're fighting to do whatever it is for the Lord, there will be opposition. Amen, amen, and amen. But what we know is this. Our greatest hindrance is ourselves. It's us. We need to stop pointing the finger at everything else. Well, he made me say that. Well, she made me do this. Well, they made me... No. They didn't make you do anything. You did it of your own volition. You made a choice. You have a choice. Let us walk in the Spirit. We're in Christ right now. We need to let ourselves be obedient in Christ and walk in Him and walk with Him on a day-to-day basis. Both have to be done. Both have to be done. Kind of summarize the question and the answer. Walking with Christ emphasizes that relationship that you have with Him. Walking in Christ emphasizes obedience. And both are required. And I will tell you this, spiritual maturity understands they're both needed. They're both needed. I really hope that answers the question for the person. If it doesn't, they can come to and talk to me later. But believer, covered a lot this morning. Covered some things that are kind of convicting. And look, you know, the Word of God is going to be one of two things. It's going to be convicting or it's going to be comforting. And I'll tell you this, a lot of times we need some conviction before we can get to the comfort. Let's take a look at our own lives. Every last one of us. Everyone that's heard any of these things that we've talked about this morning. Let's take a look at our own hearts. In a moment, we're going to respond to an invitation, a prayer, a hymn. This is a time for you to look at your life, to look at your heart, and ask the question, am I walking with Him? Am I walking in Him? And am I doing both at the same time? Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, like I said, I'm just going to say, if you were convicted this morning and there's something you need to get taken care of, you can come forward, kneel on these steps. You can do it in your seat. You can sit down and pray, whatever it is, but you got to get it taken care of. Don't ignore it. If you ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're not walking in Him. You're not walking in Him. Might look like you're walking with Him, but you need to do both. Respond today. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, now is the time to come and say, what must I do to have salvation? What must I do to have that relationship? What must I do to have the things you were talking about? And if that's you this morning, I invite you to come. Receive Christ as your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the time. Thank you again for all that you've given to us. Pray, Lord, that as we close with this hymn, you just move in our hearts. Convict us and comfort us. Thank you for all that you've done. I pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.